The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
So it's always interesting to see what people put out on Twitter, the various messages they put out there, particularly when they're unhappy, right? So Dez Bryant was watching the Cowboys.
Is he unhappy?
He's unhappy.
How do you know?
He is not happy. And, of course, a fan wrote that, gee, if the Cowboys had Dez Bryant, and maybe also Dan Bailey, the kicker, then they could have won. And Dez jumped in and he said, that's right. I mean, Dez thinks that he could have been the difference.
Of course he does.
Well, then there's another person who's expressed concern. Things aren't going the way she would like. Kim Kardashian.
Oh,
this was scandalous. She has come out and declared that every night she's in tears. She's crying because the size of her bottom is too big. That's not an easy thing to deal with. I know you wouldn't understand the crisis there, but her butt's too big.
You know, it is just real. That is such champagne problems. I can't quite. I really don't even know if I have a comment about this.
No,
do you think her booty's too big? Jose, David, let's
hear
it.
Well, Jose, I know, has a perspective on the size of Kim's body.
I think it's just fine.
You think it's just fine?
Yeah.
So she should just be happy with herself. That's the rub. She's overly focused on herself. She's
That's
overly
the
critical.
Rub. How interesting.
Well, maybe just a little.
So, Jose, are you a I like big butts and I cannot lie guy?
I don't discriminate.
Okay.
I like both.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, David, you haven't answered. Jose took it.
No, I think she's got to work on her butt. I'm going to go ahead and pile on while she's offered me the chance. Too much.
Hey, her booty is what put her on the map there.
I know.
So I'm not feeling sorry for her.
She is that poster child of the old saying that we live in a world today where the world is more focused on fame than honor, right? Just being famous, being notable, being noted, being spotted is the karma of the day. It's the thing that gets you places.
And Serena took her spotlight for the weekend. She had to say something.
Serena did. She was very much in the spotlight.
When she shouldn't have been, but oh well.
All right, when we come back, we have a real treat. We have Cody Stoots joining us. Cody Stoots has been at the Texans training camp. He has seen all things AFC South and NFL. He writes for sportsmap.com. Cody Stoots when we return.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, we've got a real treat here in studio is Cody Stoots. Cody is a writer for sportsmap.com. That's sportsmap.com here in Houston, Texas. Cody, welcome into the show.
Happy to be here. Pleasure to be here. Going to have some fun tonight.
Okay, so it's sort of interesting. You spent a lot of time at the Houston Texans training camp.
I did.
You saw all the things they did to prepare, and then there was the game yesterday.
I saw all that stuff, and I didn't see anything what happened on Sunday. It was a very big, it was a very big shock.
Yes. So, I mean, what happened to the – well, I mean, the Patriots are a good team, but –
that's the frustrating part about the way Sunday played out for the Texans is they took the best team and the best shot they were ever going to have to beat New England in New England. They took that up there, and then that was what happened. That was very frustrating. Now, I know Will Fuller was injured going into the game. Kiki QT was out as well. But Bruce Ellington was still there. Sammy Coates was active. Vincent Smith had a nice training camp and was on the roster as a rookie. So it was really frustrating to see that happen when it looked like they had their best chance ever to knock off the Patriots in Foxborough for the first time ever in franchise history. What you saw, or what I saw in training camp, in joint practices with the 49ers, and the little preseason action that the starters did have, it didn't look anything like that. And Deshaun Watson was really frustrating. And it would give you probably a sense of dread if that was his first NFL game and you didn't have everything from last year to go back and point to. But he was bad. If he was average yesterday,
right,
the Texans win that game.
Absolutely. They don't fumble the first snap of the game. They went that could have been the 7-point difference right there.
That was brutal to have that happen. Deshaun's decision making was slow throughout a lot of the day. And then sometimes when he did make decisions, he was making decisions for stuff that wasn't there. And then he was making throws that just yesterday, for whatever reason, he wasn't going to make that throw. And that's really frustrating to see, because you can point to maybe rust from not having played a real NFL game. Mm-hmm. And even if he'd played in the preseason, I mean, even if he played, say, the first half against the Rams played almost none of their defensive starters and none of their stars. So he would have been playing against backups anyway. So that was the first true opportunity for him to knock off rust outside of those joint practices with the 49ers. And you saw it, very rusty, accuracy issues, decision-making issues. I didn't think Bill O'Brien did him any favors, though, with some of the play calling and game plan that they had on offense early. You saw it tweaked and fixed a little bit in the second half, but early it looked like they were both trying to do too much.
Boy, the offensive line looks like a problem too, though.
So I'm not as down on this offensive
line. Okay, good. Help us here, Cody.
I'm not as down on this offensive line as some might think. Now, Shontrell Henderson going down, he's done for the year. Severe ankle injury, his year's finished. He's a really interesting story as far as the NFL, but his time in Houston's probably over at this point. It's time for Martinez Rankin, the rookie third rounder, and Julian Davenport, the second year player for the Texans. Davenport's going to play right tackle, and Rankin's going to play left tackle. They feel more comfortable with Rankin over at left tackle. He's got better footwork than Davenport does. And if you think about the right tackle position, a lot of the premier pass rushers line up at right tackle. That's where Davenport's long arms and his skills better benefit the Texans being over there at right tackle. I thought Kelamete and Martin and Fulton had a nice game at the guard position. Deshaun Watson hurt the offensive line yesterday. Deshaun Watson made them look worse than they actually played. There were a couple times he just didn't trust the guys. And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't either. Rookie left tackle playing his first NFL action against the Patriots and a second-year right tackle starting his third game in the NFL.
And a 2 ACL torn quarterback. You know, you've got some hesitation there.
Correct. There's definitely some hesitation, but he'll see that on film. He'll learn to trust those guys because that's who they have going forward, for better or worse. There's no one out there that's going to be better that would come in and play right away. And their tackle that's left on the roster that's healthy, Kendall Lamb, is not better than either of those guys. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have to go forward with that. He's going to have to make do. But as he starts to trust those guys, you'll see him stand in the pocket a little bit more. You'll see him trust those guys a little bit more. And you'll see a little bit closer to what we saw from last year from Deshaun Watson than this year. I feel okay about this offensive line.
All right, Carla has a favorite on the defensive side. He's got a great nickname, new acquisition.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell him why you love the Honey Badger.
I love that guy.
See?
I love the Honey Badger. I mean, he is, to me, field general right there. The energy that he brings, the leadership that he brings, his whole bring it on mentality. He is playing for a contract, and he's excited about it.
One of the most fantastic things about his debut for the Texans yesterday is, if you notice, the cameras caught it on the sideline. There was one play where he was trying to get Kevin Johnson.
Yes,
lined
I saw
up,
it.
And Kevin,
I saw it.
Kevin Johnson, just for whatever reason, didn't believe him, didn't listen, didn't execute the way he said. And then he was very animated on the bench after. He's a passionate guy. That's a great sign for the Texans, because Romeo Crennel's defense is not,
it's complicated.
It's not an easy defense right. to pick up. And so that's why people were really scared for this defense because of the secondary. You had an entirely new safety room. Kareem Jackson, yes, had been on the team, but hadn't been playing safety for the Texans. Tyron Matthews knew Justin Reed's a rookie. And so entirely new safeties. But with Matthew already knowing what Johnson should have been doing, he has hammered home communication, communication, communication as one of the biggest things for that secondary. And you saw it not pay off for him there. They didn't communicate well, mm-hmm. and Kevin Johnson was in the wrong spot. The Patriots took advantage of it. I love what Matthew's doing. I loved Kareem Jackson at safety.
I thought Kareem Jackson was fantastic at safety yesterday.
From the get-go. It is a situation where he has probably extended his career 2 or 3 years with his move to safety. He's always been a thumper. He's always been a guy that can come up and make a big tackle from that cornerback position. So moving him to safety and the advantage that he has now, familiar with Romeo Crennel, familiar with what the corners in that defense are supposed to be doing. So he helps with the organization. He and Matthew, along with Reed. Reed had a nice debut mm-hmm. for rookie. They've got something at the safety position to be really proud of. Now, if they can just get that pass rush going, they're going to be tough to score on.
Well, that was one of my surprising disappointments, is that first half, especially, our front seven really wasn't putting much pressure on Tom Brady.
So credit to the Patriots on this. Last year, Tom Brady sacked 5 times, and then he had, I think, 8 total knockdowns in that game against the Texans. And you saw that wear on Tom Brady. He's mm-hmm. up there in age. He cannot have games like that.
And he's not super mobile.
He can't have games like that and play 16 games in a season. And the Patriots, along with just about everybody else, are sunk if Brady's not going to play. So they clearly had a game plan where they were going to do everything they could to keep Brady as clean as possible early, take quick stuff, take short stuff. And then you saw once they had to try to work in to some of that long stuff, some of that longer developing plays that they had in their playbook, you saw J.J. Watt got in there. D.J. Reader ended up with some pressure.
He had a nice game.
No sacks. Love that. No hurries in the first half. 2 sacks, 5 hurries in the second half from that Texans defense. The Patriots just game planned him well. Jadeveon Clowney's getting cut by offensive linemen. Whitney Mercilus is rusty after almost no preseason because they had a hamstring bothering him. So that will get knocked off in a hurry. Clowney, Belichick always finds one person and takes them out of the game. That's what he did with Clowney yesterday, with cuts, with chips, and things like that. He took Clowney out. So Clowney was really disappointed with his performance. Whitney Mercilus talked today, said he was really disappointed with his performance. They know they didn't play up to standard. Even Watt isn't probably happy with the first half. The second half, he kind of got going. They're going to be just fine on the pass rush.
But you look at Belichick, too. Clowney had a pick six against Tom Brady in Foxborough last year. And, of course, Bill Belichick said, that's the one. We're not doing that again. So stopped him, just like you said he did. Amazing.
And at this point, you know, J.J. Watt flashed a little bit closer to what we know about J.J. Watt than the previous time we'd seen him on the field. At this point, Clowney's the known factor. Clowney's the guy you need to take out of the game. Mm-hmm. And that was the approach by the Patriots. They had a good game plan. And look, the New England, I mean, you just faced the best coach you're going to play on your schedule, the best quarterback you're going to play on your schedule, the best offensive coordinator that you're going to play on your schedule, and you lost. Okay, well, you got 15 more of these. You probably will see the Patriots again in the playoffs if you go deep in the playoffs. So get back on your horse. You got a familiar face in Mike Vrabel and the Titans coming up this weekend. Go take care of business against Tennessee. Get right back into the thick of things. You're 1-1. The Titans will start the year 0-2 if you take care of business. There's plenty of opportunity to make up. It's magnified because it's the Patriots, and it's magnified because you saw some of those mishaps managing the game from Bill O'Brien that you saw last year.
And that's what I want to ask you about, Cody. So what would you have done? Should he call the timeout after that Gronk catch, non-catch?
So here's
that's not his job.
Yeah, so he says.
Oh, well, that's what I heard.
Bill O'Brien's explanation was tough to stomach because right. he says today that in hindsight 2020, after seeing all the angles, he should have called the timeout. But there was a play in Monday Night Football tonight. There was a play back in Thursday Night Football. There have been plays throughout the opening weekend of the NFL. That was, in my opinion, and in Bill O'Brien's opinion, that was going to be called a catch. And that's what the booth told Bill O'Brien from up top. Hey, it looks like a catch. And that's fine. Even if there was any chance that it could get overturned, you got to take that timeout. for a multitude of reasons. One, it might get overturned. Two, the defense looked gassed. They had to rush down the field. They had to rush down the field and get ready for that snap. And his explanation that he didn't want to give the Patriots too much time come up with a play. Look, it's Tom Brady. It's Bill Belichick. It doesn't matter if they had 5 seconds or 5 minutes to come up with something. It didn't seem to hurt them that they had to hurry up and make a play because they ended up scoring on that drive anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm not buying that explanation. That is something for a team like the Texans that will overwhelm some teams but will live in the margins against other teams. That's something that Bill O'Brien has to get better at. If, I don't know if it's asking for help. I don't know if it's giving some of those duties to someone else on the staff. He has to get better at that if the Texans are going to consistently beat good teams.
All right. Well, so I'm the boss. She's the gloss, as you know, on the show. And as the boss, I'm going to mandate that you come back for another segment.
Yes, Cody, we need you back.
Let's look at the AFC South a little more broadly. It looks like there's a guy named Luck who's throwing the ball pretty well again. We'll come back. We'll talk to Cody Stutes again. When we return, he's Cody Stutes of SportsMap.com. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. Guaranteed low prices ensure you're always getting the best deal. In fact, O'Reilly's will match any local part auto parts store's price on any like item. They have the parts you need at the prices you can be sure of at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Now, this is not the Bet DSI inside line because he's actually here with us in the studio. It is Cody Stutes. He writes for SportsMap.com. That's SportsMap.com. Cody Stutes joining us here on The Boss and the Gloss. We've had fun dissecting that Texans-Patriots game yesterday, but let's look at the AFC South more broadly. If I were a Colts fan, I mean, it was disappointing the Colts did fall to the Bengals yesterday, but to see Andrew Luck throw the ball and throw the ball so effectively had to be uplifting.
It has to be. And here's the tough part for Colts fans is they don't know what they have with Andrew Luck until he plays two games in a row, three games in a row, four games in a row, because there's a lot of guys who go out there and have that one game, take the wear and tear of one game, and then not be able to play week two, week three. So how this stacks up on Andrew Luck over the weeks is something that Colts fans need to pay attention to. I'm not in love with what they have in Indianapolis. Luck at his full talent gives you a chance to beat anybody any given week. T.Y. Hilton's still really nice there.
He is.
And they've tried to put some other stuff around those two guys. The defense is they're going to be pretty bad on defense, as you know, you see the Bengals take care of business against them this past weekend. But it's, as a football fan, it's great to see Andrew Luck come back.
It is.
Because I don't know why we don't treat quarterbacks' arms like pitchers' arms when something like that happens. Because if a pitcher had the time off and the time away from his sport like Andrew Luck had, baseball fans would be freaking out. I was freaking out for Andrew Luck because I thought we may never see what we saw this past weekend. And you can still see some of the things that's not quite there. Gerard Johnson, the former Texas A&M quarterback, is a guy who had to have his shoulder rebuilt ahead of going into the NFL. And once he finally got healthy, you've got to relearn how to throw. And once you relearn how to throw, you've got to go through and find out, what throws that I used to be able to make, can I still make those throws? What throws can I make now? Is it the same arm slot? Is it the same arm angle? And Luck's a smart guy. He's a grinder. Mm-hmm. He's always going to work hard. That's something he has to deal with. I don't know how decent they're going to be this year. They're going to be annoying to some teams because they're going to pop up one week. Andrew Luck's going to throw for 400 yards and they're going to beat you. But contenders, I think they're a year, maybe 2 years away. That's unfortunate because you've wasted the late 20s of Andrew Luck now.
Oh, they have.
53 throws last night. That's pretty impressive in more than a year.
I would love to see the ice bath, the hot towels, right, the massage gun or whatever he had to go through to feel good today, because I bet he's a little sore.
Yeah. So the Jaguars off to a 1-0 start. Of course, a great season last year. Leonard Fournette had to leave the game with a hamstring injury. That's not good news. They don't have a lot of offensive weapons, but boy, the defense looks strong.
Leonard Fournette, a chronic hamstring injury guy, something that he's dealt with a lot, and something that is really scary for the Jaguars, because hamstrings, you saw it with the Texans this past weekend with Will Fuller, you can't rush a guy back, And if you do rush a guy back and he gets hurt worse or re-injures it, then he's off for even more time. Fortunately for the Jaguars, they've got a defense that's going to slow down almost anybody. They don't have to see Odell Beckham every week. He took care of Jalen Ramsey. One of the most underreported stories of the weekend is that Odell Beckham ate Jalen Ramsey's lunch. Big talker in the offseason. Odell Beckham had stayed quiet, quietly got paid, and then quietly, it seems, went out there and took care of business against Jalen Ramsey. But they've got a defense that's going to slow down a lot of people. Blake Bortles is not a good quarterback, but they're going to try to.
Thank you. I agree with that. I do.
They're going to try to keep him from making mistakes. They're going to throw the ball to running backs a lot. They're going to throw the ball short a lot just to keep him comfortable and keep him from making a big mistake. T.J. Yeldon actually was number one in their targets, and he's their backup running back. So if Fournette's out for a little bit, how does that alter what they do with their offense and what they build in the coming weeks? But I mean, they've got some really big matchups early in the season. New England's on their schedule early. That's something that they're going to be hyped for. They're going to be really excited, try to get some revenge for what happened in the playoffs last year. I don't see it with Jacksonville this year, but they've surprised plenty of people. If Bortles stays away from mistakes, they can beat anybody any Sunday. If he makes one or two mistakes, that's usually going to doom them.
We've got Cody Stutes in studio. He writes for sportsmap.com. Okay, let's talk rookie quarterbacks, because we're watching Sam Darnold here, and he is lighting it up for the Jets.
He's having a great game.
The first rookie to really make a big dent this year. Baker Mayfield sat on the bench while Tyrod Taylor, well, he led the cause for the Browns. Who,
the key there is Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, Tyrod. I mean, that's a...
That is beautiful.
We were,
Cody,
celebrating early that the Browns got a tie after 17 straight losses.
Their best start since 2005, I think.
Right. That's amazing, isn't it?
So do you celebrate a tie? Is that what they should be celebrating? Or they should be kicking themselves that,
yes,
they forced six turnovers and still didn't win?
Enjoy the moment.
I don't know if you can get excited. You play to win the game. You don't play to tie the game. So I don't think you can get too excited. There's some positives for the Browns, but I don't want to get too excited about a tie. They're going to play a lot of those games where they make it an ugly game and they muck it up and they're there, but it's about finishing for the Browns this year.
Okay, so Tyrod Taylor played well enough to get another start. In Buffalo, the other rookie, Josh Allen, is behind Nate Peterman. And that begs the question... How many more games will Nate Peterman start? When are they bringing on Josh Allen?
Or let me also ask you too: how does Nate Peterman have a job? Peterman have a job in the NFL?
So that's an impossible question to answer, because I don't understand how you could see even the slightest performance last year and not go out and just try something new, move on from that guy and try something new. They didn't have any serious investment in him. Guys with his draft pick status get cut and moved on from all the time. I, honest to goodness, if I was the Buffalo Bills, would not start Josh Allen at all this year.
I agree with you. He's not ready.
You cannot play him behind that offensive line with that offense, without those weapons. I wouldn't start him. I would groom him. Carson Palmer, I think, is the last guy to just completely sit when he was that highly touted of a draft pick and a quarterback for the team. I would sit him. Now, can you, with that fan base that's been so loyal to you, can you run Peterman out there as many times as you think they might? I don't think you can. It might be week four, week five, and then you see, maybe can the rookie do something? Can you see the big arm? Can you see him make some plays? I would sit him all year if I could. If I could get away with it, if I wouldn't anger, you know, the natives in Buffalo. That's just not realistic, and that's how a head coach would get fired if he did something.
Yeah,
like that.
And Peterman's playing so poorly that they're going to be calling for Allen. I mean, it's your point about these rookies, that there's such a need to put them on the field quickly. They're getting paid. There's a 4-year clock. Everybody wants them on the field. But it is interesting. You mentioned Carson Palmer, but probably more recently, Patrick Mahomes did sit behind a very
good
quarterback. So Alex Smith was a good quarterback, and it was easier to sit Mahomes, let him get ready. And look, he's really off to a great start this year. I mean, he pitched the ball all over the field yesterday.
Andy Reid's the perfect coach for him, too.
Yeah,
that's the right system to be in. And Carson Palmer was a Heisman winner. You know, Josh Allen, not even close to that. No. I mean, I was surprised where Josh Allen went in the draft.
People will just ignore who some of these guys' coaches are, mm-hmm, and what organization they end up with. Like, I can't tell you anything good about Buffalo's offense the past couple of years and the guys that call the plays up there. So maybe it's one of those things where it's management. You come down and say, look, don't ruin this guy. Don't mess things up. And then when the coach says why, you can't tell him that it's because we don't want the next guy to have problems to fix with him. But Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid, that's a match made in heaven.
I think so, too.
There's a lot of talent on that team. Mahomes is going to make some mistakes. The Chargers, another injury to their linebacker. They have the worst injury luck in the NFL, it seems. They probably got really surprised from what they saw from Patrick Mahomes. I know people expected big numbers. I don't think they expected them right away and expected that without some mistake element in his game. He didn't make a lot of mistakes. He had a lot of success, and Andy Reid's perfect. He played that perfectly. It's not often you can get rid of a guy like Alex Smith, whose Washington Redskins looked fine, and then have a guy that looked even better than him.
All right, he is Cody Stutes. He's joined us from sportsmap.com. Cody, thanks so much for coming in and joining us and offering his insights on Texans and all things NFL today. Really appreciate your coming in.
Anytime, and it's going to be a rough one for the Titans when they start 0-2. The Texans are bouncing back this week.
All right, I like it.
You heard it from Cody Stutes of sportsmap.com. When we return, it will be our award-winning segment, the He Said, She Said segment. Next up on The Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
Okay, we all know that the Gloss is a renowned Raider fan, a Princess of Darkness.
Princess of Darkness.
Self-proclaimed Princess of Darkness.
Getting psyched up for my boys.
But your boys have had a tough week here. John Gruden, Chucky, took a lot of hit for trading away Khalil Mack. And the reason that he did it in the first place was he said, well, he couldn't afford to keep him. And then later he came back and he had a different answer. Let's hear what Gruden is saying about the trade of Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears.
Obviously, Khalil Mack didn't want to play here. You know, that's what's being missed here. He was under contract, Lisa. You know, he was under contract. He never showed up for an OTA. He never showed up for training camp. And it was obvious he wasn't going to show up for the season. So, don't forget that. We have to get ready to play. And I want players that want to be here, that want to help us put this thing back in high gear.
Okay, it is notable. When the trade went down, several Raider players questioned how could they let Mack go. The other side of this is Gruden makes a point. Mack was under contract, and he didn't report. So when he said, well, Mack obviously didn't want to play here, of course, Mack would say, well, I was happy to play there, but I wanted a whole lot more money. Anyway, it was always about the money, and now Mack is no longer a Raider, but he's a Bear.
And boy, did he look good last night against the Packers.
He really did.
A pick six, a bat down. He looked amazing.
He reminded everybody why all the fuss, why he is on that short list of guys who deserve a big payday.
Well, in the beginning of this whole thing, I thought, hey, in that 2014 draft, you had Jadeveon Clowney going number one. You had Khalil Mack number five and Aaron Donald going number 13. Hmm. That is a stout ministers of defense type of draft. So when you take someone number five like the Raiders did, you hope to need to pay them the big money,
yep.
4 years down the road, 5 years down, whatever it is, 4 years down the road. However, what the Raiders couldn't see, part of that was frustration on my part, thinking, this is what you play for and hope for, to have to pay them, and you're not going to pay them. Here's the deal. They've also got a quarterback, their franchise quarterback, and they paid him like a franchise quarterback in Derek Carr, as they should. If they pay Khalil Mack like the money that he wanted, and it's the Aaron Donald effect, who signed right before Khalil Mack, that is 25% of the Raiders' salary space. They can't afford to do that. They have 50 other players that have to be taken care of. And if you look at, yes, Khalil Mack is a transcendent player. He is a generational player. He's a defensive player of the year. The Raiders' defense was terrible, and he was still the star on it last year. You can't put that kind of money in it when you have to pay 51 other players, and they need help at linebacker, they need help at cornerback, they need help at safety. And with this trade with Chicago, I didn't like it at first, but when you look into it, with their own pick and what they got from Chicago, they're going to have two first rounds in this next year's draft and two first rounds in the year after. Four first round picks in the next 2 years. I think that's what they had to do. I hate to see Khalil Mack go. He should have played one more year. But if you do that and hope to keep him on the franchise tag, you risk injury. You risk, right now, they were going to get the most, the highest trade value for Khalil Mack, and they got it. I mean, it's a trade-off. You're going to have to rip that Band-Aid off, and you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Right.
Tough decision by Gruden and McKenzie, but good for Chucky, as you love to call him, not to back down.
Well, Chucky has a long-term contract, so he can play for the long game. Look, the Raiders would be better this year with Khalil Mack field, and
no
draft
doubt.
Picks don't help you right now. But he can wait this out, I guess. I mean, he now is stocked for the draft, and he can rebuild the team in his own image.
It's Rome's not built in a day, and you've got to make bold moves to have that happen down the line.
All right, let's go to the next one. We noted earlier that Dez Bryant was trolling the Cowboys and their offensive ineptitude.
Shocking.
Yes, Dez was having some fun that the Cowboys were struggling and enjoying the thought that maybe Dez could have been the difference yesterday. And people went up to DeMarcus Lawrence, the standout defensive end of the Cowboys, and said, what about Dez?
I already know what's up, man. I mean, you know, Dez my guy. I ain't tripping. You know what I'm saying?
More comments.
No, no. I mean, what I'm supposed to say?
Until Dan Bailey tweets it. And then you really got to start.
Bro, why are we sitting here, bro? We just lost a game, and y'all talking about some tweets. Y'all really think I care about what Dez tweet or anybody tweets?
First of all, I love the use of the beep.
Yes,
thank you,
do.
Jose. You know, it always helps me out. I appreciate that.
Really makes David's day when you can give him a beep one, Jose.
Now I know. Now I'm going to explicitly get explicit content.
Yeah, you got to keep the boss happy, right? Now listen, I actually appreciated DeMarcus Lawrence's response.
I did too.
I mean, he is out to play football. He's not worrying about what Dez is tweeting out there, right?
And that is, you know, if you're Jerry Jones and even Jason Garrett, you're like, thank you for that response. Mm-hmm. We just lost a damn game, basically, is what he's saying. I can't be bothered with what's going on in social media.
Yep.
Good for him. That's where your focus should be.
Yep.
And Dez, that's where his focus should be, is in social media, selling, getting himself out there, promoting himself. That's great. And he said, hey, Dez is my man, but we just lost a game. Probably one that they shouldn't have lost. So there you go.
Interesting now to think about DeMarcus Lawrence next to Khalil Mack. Lawrence last year had a breakout season. Mm-hmm. After struggling his first couple of years with injuries, last year breakout season, 14.5 sacks. Cowboys put the franchise tag on him, so he's playing under that tag. It's a big payday. It's about $16 million annually. He's having a great payday year, but he doesn't have a long-term contract. So it will be fun to see what the Cowboys do with Lawrence next year. Lawrence had a good game week one. I mean, the Cowboys' defense actually showed up. As bad as the offense was, the defense of the Cowboys played actually quite well. They limited the Panthers' movement on the offensive side of the ball. And, of course, they did it when they were out on the field all day because the Cowboys' offense didn't burn up the clock at all.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the next one. So Eric Flowers is the current right tackle of the Giants. He was the left tackle last year. He struggled last year at left tackle, so the Giants went out and signed Nate Solder from the Patriots. They plugged in Solder at left tackle. They moved Eric Flowers over to right tackle, but he had a long day. He was critiqued for his play, trying to block one of the best defensive players in the league, Khalil Campbell of the
– Oh, Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell of
fierce.
The Jaguars is awesome. And so Flowers faced him. What did Flowers say to the criticism?
Went to the NFC Championship game. Manning had the pass deflected and picked off. Miles Jack. Jack will take it all the way for a Jaguars touchdown.
Okay, so that was actually sound when Eli was rushed because Eli didn't have a lot of time to throw because Flowers didn't hold his block, and that led to a pick six that Miles Jack returned on behalf of the Jaguars. So Flowers has taken a lot of heat, and, of course, Eli Manning, a guy with a lot of pedigree, the big name, Manning has not played well. He didn't play well last year. He didn't have a good game yesterday.
Nope.
And a lot of people want to blame it on the offensive line. At some point, you got to look at Manning as well. But the offense isn't what it should be. And last year, the blame went to the O-line. This year, they put Barkley in there. Beckham is back. Manning needs to step up for the Giants as well.
And they didn't address that in the draft. So they've got their man in Manning, and they've got to do something about it.
All right, let's shift gears to the Steelers. This comes from Terry Bradshaw talking about the head coach, Mike Tomlin, of the Steelers. Bradshaw is not a fan of Tomlin's. Let's hear what Terry Bradshaw says about Mike Tomlin.
I look at the head coach and criticize me. I could care less. You know, that's my opinion. That's why I played for a tough sucker, and I was afraid of him. And we played our ass off for him because we feared him. And I don't see that with this guy. He's, you know, he's chest bumping and all that. And I'm just, you know, that's, I'm heading the corporation here, man. I'm the CEO. I'm the chairman of the board. I'm talking to the stockholders, and I'm telling them, here's how we're going to do at the end of the quarter. And I'm selling this thing, and I'm not delivering the goods, which is championships. You got to face the criticism. And I'm sorry, but he's not my kind of coach. And I said it before. I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Well, there you have. I mean, of course, Terry Bradshaw played for Chuck Knoll. Old school authoritarian type coach. Tomlin, much more of a player's coach. Mm-hmm. It's clear where Terry Bradshaw lands on that side of the equation.
Sure, but the game's a different game now too.
No doubt.
And you have to coach to how your players, you know, how your roster looks.
Right.
So, but you know, obviously Tomlin's not getting what he can out of that roster, and I'm looking right to Big Ben for that.
Right.
We need his leadership, we need his consistency, and as we mentioned earlier tonight, his lack of awareness in the pocket, his decision-making is, I'm shaking my head over it after yesterday's game.
Yep. So. A bad week one start for the mm-hmm. Steelers. And actually, they finished in the playoffs with some questionable play calling and struggles down the stretch. So, I don't know. The microscope's on for Tomlin.
It is.
Ben Roethlisberger said at one point he didn't know how much longer he would play. He got his backup that they drafted, Mason Rudolph. Terry Bradshaw's not going to hold back, though. He's awfully forthcoming about his opinion.
He's forthcoming, and I'm okay with that. And I agree with him that I think the Steelers have been underwhelming mm-hmm. for, you know, more than not just the start of this year, but last year as well.
Yep. All right. Let's take a look at what Bill O'Brien of the Texans had to say. Of course, there was this play. I'll let you describe it. It was Gronk's catch or non-catch.
Yeah, it was a catch that was, well, it was caught. As he was going to the ground, he had it on his forehead, both hands on it. But clearly, it was not clear one way or another whether it was a catch or not.
Yeah, it hit the ground.
It was right before late in the second half, right before the half. Good field position for the Patriots. Texans had three timeouts. Definitely call that timeout and have that looked at.
My job, though, to call a timeout to make their job easier. You know, what I'm trying to do is make sure that we go into halftime with a 14-6 lead. I mean, you know, down 14-6. You know, I'm not trying to say, call a timeout there. They rule it a catch. Now the Patriots have more time to put a play together. So, you know, whatever you're going to write, you're going to write. But, like, that's not my job to do that.
So in his defense, it is up to the refs to take care of that in those final 2 minutes. However, there were all kinds of opportunities to slow that down and allow them more time, and he could have called timeout.
And the minute you saw the Patriots running to get that playoff,
yep.
Bill O'Brien should have called that timeout right there. That he's getting outsmarted from the get-go. As soon as that rush happened, you knew the Patriots didn't know that that was a catch either. They were like, get this playoff before they can challenge it, you know, call the timeout.
Yep.
It was disappointing. That was so disappointing, and it's not unusual with Bill O'Brien. I think he was a little stubborn, and it cost them because they scored before the half. So, you know, him trying to protect his 14-6, you know, halftime ended up being 21-6. And I don't love it.
It's funny. The Boston Globe today had an article about how Bill O'Brien is just the latest of former Patriot coaches to come back, face Belichick,
And get outsmarted.
I mean,
why would you think you wouldn't be?
Well, and look at last year, that Patriots-Texans game. Texans surely had them on the ropes.
Yes, they did.
And they played it conservatively. And, of course, Brady then came back and won the game. Time in and time again, it's just hard to beat Belichick. He seems to outsmart even the guys he's mentored and developed who go on to other places.
And what bothered me the most about what Bill O'Brien said, and I like him a lot, and I think he's a great coach for the Texans, but when he said, I didn't want to give the Patriots more time to get a play together, the Patriots need a nanosecond. They run on autopilot. It would have made no bit of difference, and the call could have been reversed, and that would have saved a score. And there you go. That could have been the game. The difference in the game was the touchdown. Could have been that one.
All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. We get a chance to highlight what we've learned from Carla Dawson, The Gloss. When we return, the Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So I noticed on the break, Carla, you'd gone to betdsi.com to place a bet. You used the promo code NATION25, and you're getting a $25 wager.
Don't tell all my secrets.
Oh, well, she's out there. All right, listen, there are the things we've learned from Carla over the show tonight. First of all, you're optimistic about the Astros versus the Red Sox and the ALCS to come.
I'm optimistic. I think they threw up the challenge. It's going to be good.
Secondly, we learned that when you look at that trade of Khalil Mack over to the Bears away from the Raiders, your view is, look, the Raiders' defense was bad with Mack. They can now be bad without him.
It was a stinger at first.
Yes.
But when you do a deep dive, I can see where they came from.
Okay.
But it's going to take a few years for it to sift out, so you got to be patient, Raider Nation. Patience. Not our forte.
With 13:30 left to go in the game, Sam Darnold of the
Jet Fuel.
You like Sam Darnold.
I'm loving this.
He was your quarterback pick coming out of rookies this year, and boy, he has made an impression tonight. I mean, what a debut. I can't remember a rookie quarterback starting off this well with the kind of night he's having.
And starting on Monday Night Football, This is not an easy thing to do here. 48 points hanging on the Detroit Lions tonight. I love it.
I also note that I learned from you that you're not sympathetic to the woes of Kim Kardashian and her concern that her butt is too big. You're not worried about that for her.
I am not worried about that. I'm going to let you and Jose just enjoy that whole bootylicious conversation, and I am out.
Jose and I did enjoy that conversation.
Yeah, I don't feel too bad for her either.
Really? All right, I guess I'm going to be the only one who goes to bed at night worrying about Kim Kardashian's size of her butt.
I think it's just fine. There's nothing to worry about.
All right, I've got one more learning from Carla. You looked at that Texans-Patriots game, and you concluded, look, Texans didn't play well. Deshaun was a little bit rusty. The defense didn't do their best game. And yet they were still close to the Patriots. So there's a silver lining in that loss for the Texans.
I'm a silver lining gal. I'm all about the glass half full. They don't fumble on the first snap. They challenge that Rob Gronkowski catch, not catch. And they're tied. They're going into overtime or they're winning. I feel good about the future.
There's a lot to learn from Carla. You hear her each week on The Boss and the Gloss. Next up is the gold standard. Alex Gold is coming on. He's going to have Robert Harris as his producer, and they're going to do extraordinary things. Be sure to stay tuned. When we return, it will be Alex Gold on SB Nation Radio.